Welcome to another episode of Neuroscience Perspectives. I'm Kelsey Smith-Hayduck, the show's producer, sitting in for Dr. John Fox. In this episode, we're revisiting origin stories, what launched leading neuroscientists into a lifetime of learning and interest in the brain.
How'd you get into science? When did the love of science develop?
The love of science developed when I was a young age. When my mother bought me like a little microscope, and I used to catch little butterflies outside and examine the wings under the microscope. And it started when I was little. I was an avid reader and everything else, but I always loved science. Yeah. I always wanted to do science. And most of the time, especially my family, was like, oh, you can either do a doctor, but you don't hear about scientists. But, yeah. You know, and so I had that dream of becoming a cardiothoracic surgeon or neurosurgeon.
Okay. Yeah, so but you were really heading off in the clinical direction when you were very young, though.
Very young, yeah. Right? And it was all due to Ben Carson's book, Gifted Hands. It was like a book that was passed down to many in African American families because Ben Carson was like a hero to us all. And we read that book and you get captivated. And I was like, oh my God, I want to do neurosurgery. I'm now interested in the brain.
I have it on good authority that you were very interested in science very early in life. Tell us about that. Why did that passion develop? Is it something from your family or was it just curiosity?
I would say it's probably just curiosity. And also part of that is I'm always a nerdy child. So socially, I don't feel like I have lots of friends or I get along with other kids. But when I read scientific books or when I'm just studying it, I'm totally in my element. So honestly, I am always the number one student from, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school, and college. So I'm just a sort of a nerd. I think it's probably genetics.
I'm proud of it.
Yes. Good. Yeah. Good. So I know I'm always going to be a scientist. Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
Could you quantify that? How early are we talking about? You know,
as early as in middle school, just find it reading scientific books. I a lot of things I learn on my own. So I'm just so interested in learning everything.
You weren't born on these shores. So can we go back to the beginning, the genesis of Takawa Hench, and what got you to where you're at, you know, at Harvard, one of the great institutions on the planet, studying autism and mouse models? Where were you born?
And, sure.
And how did that impact your development?
Right. Well, as you can guess from my name, I'm half Japanese, half German. I was raised in a multilingual environment. They took it upon themselves to speak only their native language with me. And then we moved to New York. My father was moved to IBM. Well,
let me jump in. Yep. So your father was learning Japanese at this point?
Or? Yes, of course, given the job he was asked to do. My mother was studying German, actually, as it turned out. And so they happened to meet in that way. And then his job took him to New York, and the whole family moved to the United States when I was three. So my...
But at 3 years of age, you're bilingual Japanese, or at least a proto-bilingual Japanese-German speaker. You haven't heard a word of English at this point.
Not a word of English, that's right. And then English came in. But fortunately for me, everything was compartmentalized, so English was friends and outside the house. And I grew up in that way. I also attended a Japanese school in New York in parallel to the American school. And so I was able to keep the languages separate in that way.
Right.
And that's what drew my interest to the brain.
Yeah. And that it goes to extraordinary plasticity. I mean, I think, you know, this is one of the things, of course, about being in America and painting in broad strokes, but a great number of people in America grow up in a monolingual environment. Mm-hmm. And just the idea that you can pack three entire languages simultaneously into a child's brain, I mean, the plasticity must be extraordinary.
Yes, it was surprising to me, actually, that, you know, in school we learn a second language, and so I took French.
Just for good measure, you decided to do number four.
And the French class really opened my eyes that most other kids were not growing up in a trilingual environment. Yeah. And
I'm really struggling with it.
Yeah, learning French was somehow easier because I guess I was used to the idea of multiple representations for the same objects.
Right. And
so that's when I started to develop this fascination with how early life experience can change brain function.
Right. Amazing. Any other languages that we need to know about?
Well, my wife is Italian.
Goodness me. I have to tell that story. What went on there and how did that happen and how did your mother tolerate this?
It was partly their idea, my parents, right now. This is, again, back to high school science fairs, yeah. You know, and I had, we actually done some science fairs using pet guinea pigs in the years prior to this. So I had guinea pigs and we had done learning and memory experiments, you know, with like, can they learn to associate a cue with a food reward and that kind of thing. Yeah. And so we...
Okay. What age are you now with this?
So this would have been like 8th and 9th grade, so preteen, you know, somewhere 12 to 13, young, you know, yeah. And I had wanted, you know, to do another science fair project like this. And so my parents helped me find a researcher at a local university. This was Southern Methodist, you know, in Dallas. Yeah. And a very kind researcher who gave me a set of mice, lab mice to work with, which we would never do now, you know, sending lab mice home to some kid's house. So we took the mice home. I had a group of males and a group of females, and I was interested in sex differences in learning and memory. And so we had a group of males and a group of females. We kept them in the laundry room for a while, and I would run them on this T-maze-based task where there was a cue. I also learned a bit about programming because this is we had to collect all the behavioral data and then do statistics on it and everything. Sure. So then even in Texas, it gets cold at night sometimes, and the laundry room got very cold one night, and we had a whole bunch of mice with hypothermia. And my mom would tell you that she spent hours resuscitating hypothermic mice.
Was the hairdryer involved? Or?
I think just towels. Just towels, rubbing, okay. You know? And, you know, but in the end, it was actually a really cool data set. You know, we did great statistics, and I learned all about chi-square tests, and like, you know, and we had this sort of longitudinal learning data for males and females. It turns out the males were better, better at learning the task, you know, you could look at that and say that has all the parts of the same thing that I do with my grad students now. Right?
How does a girl from Brazil end up in the US, and how does a girl growing up the way you did end up thinking, I want to be a neuroscientist?
Yeah, so I think, you know, life is full of coincidences and circumstances, and I think those make a huge difference to people's lives. I was I was a small kid in Rio, in Rio de Janeiro, in Brazil. My dad was a very good student, and he got a fellowship, and we ended up, he spent a little bit of time at Princeton, NYU, doing some, was doing law. And that's when I was like my real formative years. I was four to six. Right. I went into an international school, like the United Nations school, which was amazing because I met, you know, friends from all over the world. I had like my best friends were from Kenya and Peru and Canada. Wow. And yeah. So we all had our little flags, you know, in our different countries. That was a blast. That was amazing. When we went back to Brazil, my parents realized that I had this great gift that I spoke English, you know, perfectly. And they thought that this would be a good thing for me. So they kind of convinced the American school there to let me in on a scholarship. To continue studying and in being able to speak English.